Hello, and welcome to episode 80 of Black Girl Scream. It is our triumphant return. Again. I feel like we've had three triumphant returns. This one's my fault. This impromptu hiatus. So that just blame it on me. I was doing NaNoWriMo at the last minute, and I couldn't do both because I barely got any sleep for the whole month of November, and I don't think I ever want to do NaNo again. So just because of that. But yeah, if you're wondering who I am, because you haven't heard me in months, I am one half of the podcast. My name is Dee Dee. I go by Dust Daughter on the social medias.
And I am the other half of the podcast. I am Enda. I go by Enda's Corner on the Twitters.
And together we make up Black Girl Squee. This is the podcast where we celebrate Black femme genius with a squee! Lord of mercy, missed those high notes. Okay, so we are on Twitter, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play Podcasts. Just search for Black Girl Squee. You can also add our RSS feed to any podcatcher you like. And we can be contacted at Enda's Corner for Enda and at Dust Daughter. And the podcast Twitter is at Black Girl Squee. You can even email us at blackgirlsquee@gmail.com. And you can find all our episodes up at blackgirlsquee.simplecast.com. So, before we get started with our special show, just to let you know, we spoil shit. We're not sorry. We squee really loud, and some of us squee really high. Looking at you, Enda. And we cuss a lot, and we talk about dick.
Okay.
Yeah, and
looking at you, Dee Dee.
What? Hey, what? Among us, who has talked the most about dick in the past year? Among the both of us. Don't answer. Anyway, again, we're not sorry.
We've grown.
We're both in the 40 club now. We're in the 40 club now. So,
yes.
Yeah, we
yes.
Hella grown. So, instead of our usual squee-worthy news, we thought we'd look back on 2019 and just talk about the stories that we like talking about that we'd covered on the show.
Yes.
So, I'm just gonna, I'll start with one and you can give me one of your favorite stories, Enda, and we can just go back and forth like that for a while. So, first of all, I think we would be remiss in our, not that we're reporters or anything, but you can't talk about 2019 without talking about Lizzo. Lizzo became Time's Entertainer of the Year, and it's because of a lot of things that happened in 2019. She got her first number one song with a song that first released 2 or 3 years ago.
She was in 2016, right?
She was in movies. She was in Hustlers. She was.
Yeah.
She had a number one album with "Cause I Love You." She was everywhere.
Yep.
And she was talked about constantly on Twitter. And we'll talk about that later in another segment.
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
We're talking about the squee here because Lizzo's prominence did a lot for fat positivity, bringing it back to its roots where it started with black women.
Yeah.
And
yes.
She did a lot of other great things too. Her bandmates were given history lessons, dressing up like Sister Rosetta Tharpe, and letting people know what the roots of all this music that you're hearing is. So for all the people that are annoyed with her, there are twice as many people that gain a lot of encouragement and empowerment from her, and that ain't bad at the end of the day. So I think she's doing a lot more good than she is harm, and she's not really harming anybody. She's just getting on some other people's nerves that are probably fatphobic or misogynistic or whatever.
They're miserable.
Mm-hmm.
They're miserable.
Yeah.
That's the way to put it. Like I said, we'll talk about that later, but they are miserable.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Lizzo.
Yes. Okay. But, also, and still in music, Missy Elliott. It's when you think about it, it has been such a long time coming. She finally, she's finally getting, the respect and due she deserves, especially as what she's done for women in rap, and also being a producer and being this significant cultural figure, and also being one of our, she's really not anymore, not right now, but also being one of our, one of our big girls, who's out there, being, she kind of also, I would say with her, that would be fat positivity with her too, especially with like her early work, as just kind of her being, this big body and, not really being, also not hiding it, but also kind of, how would I put it, because she was such a geek, she's dressed as, Mega Man in one video and, kind of like, this whole thing that she did in the She's a Bitch video, I don't know how to describe that look, but I've always loved it because, I like dark colors. It was just like her just being, this all-around multi-talented, woman who's done not just a lot for herself, but so much for so many other artists. And, like, finally, this was the year it kind of felt like she was getting her due. I mean, was it in 2019 she got, inducted to the Songwriters Hall of Fame? Or was
possible,
it the year that?
Possible. This year has been so damn long.
It's been a very, very long year that finally got the Video Vanguard Award from MTV.
Yes, should have had that 20 years ago, but whatever.
Yes, finally got that because, there's probably not, besides, because only I've said that in Hype Williams' camp, who was directing the videos, probably nobody was making more innovative, videos in hip-hop than he was back then, and she was part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And, like I said, with her being, you can tell, that a lot of this stuff was her idea, because she's a geek. I remember reading, because she was part of my dissertation studies and stuff when I was in, way back when in grad school, and she was like, trying to get these futuristic cars and stuff she wanted, I thought we'd be in the Jetsons by now.
Yeah.
So she's disappointed. And also, yeah, Elliot, Missy Elliott, one of our, Afrofuturism heroes as well. So, and it's like, it took y'all this long to catch up with her.
For real. For real. And
it took y'all this
and she was also,
long.
She's also unabashedly sexual. That and people just
yes
that seemed to go over people's heads because she didn't look like the kind of person that they would accept.
What
unabashed.
What did you think she was singing about?
She has a
whole
song.
What did they think she was singing about in Socket? But what? What did they think she was singing about in Socket to Me?
Okay.
What?
What? She has a song with a chorus that says, "Pussy don't feel me now." The fuck you think she talking about?
What did you think she was talking about in Work It? What do you think the elephant
noise was? If you got a big dick, let me search it and let me find how hard I want to work it. Come on, people. It wasn't subtle. It was right there. It was. There was no subtext. You just
shit.
You just
it was, I mean, even in, you know, even in Up Jumps the Boogie in her verse, do y'all remember that?
They don't remember.
She was channeling Donna Summer on that one. Mm-hmm. But yeah, go back, listen to Up Jumps the Boogie. I wasn't really into that song so much, but I remember her verse. That was pretty much what her verse was. About fucking.
Like,
I mean.
She's been talking about it her whole damn career. Like, the fuck. Whatever. So she challenged norms that way because, you know, people would rather hear, if they're going to hear, you know, sexually explicit lyrics, they want it coming from somebody who looks like Cardi B or somebody who looks like Megan Thee Stallion or somebody, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
They don't expect it from a dark-skinned, fat black woman. So, but they got it. They got a whole career's worth
of
sexually explicit lyrics from Missy Elliott. And y'all gonna deal with it. Y'all was dancing to it.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was fire. Call before you come. I need to shave my cho-cha. I mean, what?
Oh, my gosh. Come on now.
I mean, whatever. Go downtown.
We got a lot
like
of
a
YouTube
anyway,
stuff.
Don't get me started. I'll be here all day. Just quoting lyrics. So, I think this happened this year. Stacey Abrams race in Georgia. That was 2019?
I have no idea.
Well, we're just going to say it is.
I have no idea.
Because I want to talk about Stacey Abrams. I think she's the future of the Democratic Party. Well, she's part of it. Her and a lot of other women of color are the future of the Democratic Party. And the reason why the party is struggling is because they don't want to hand the reins over. We can see by the Democratic candidates that are still in the race. White people don't want to give over the power to the people that are fueling this party, that are keeping keeping the lights on in the party. You know what I'm saying? The energy of the party is coming from women of color and black women in particular. And Stacey Abrams is a shining example of that, I believe. So, she's showing y'all. If the Democrats if they don't succeed, it'll probably be because white people wanted to hold on to power instead of handing over the reins.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to talk about her, and I look forward to the day when I'll be able to, I don't know, either vote for her as a senator or vote for her as a president. So.
Yep. Yep. Okay, so... Yay, Stacey Abrams. I keep thinking about, I don't know if y'all saw the production, the PBS production of, well, it wasn't PBS production, but it aired on PBS, of A Midsummer Night's Dream, the one starring Danielle Brooks. And, you know, it's set in Georgia out there, and they have a sign on the building that says Stacey Abrams 2020.
That's what's up.
Yeah. It's our wishful thinking.
Right.
So, yeah, I just had to mention that. Okay, but speaking of kick-ass black women, well, it's all kick-ass black women. I mean, come on, this black girl, Squee.
Right.
Who had a great year? Regina Ben King.
Yes. Queen King.
This has been Regina King. Yes, yes. This has been Regina King's year, and I could not be happier for her. So, I mean, started the year off winning her first Oscar for If Beale Street Could Talk.
Yes.
And ended the year with Watchmen, which is being called, like, if not the one of the best shows of the decade. And I have to admit that, because I haven't, like I was explaining to somebody else, I haven't had the time and just found the same time and disposition to actually watch it, because I have to make sure I'm in a good disposition to watch it, because I know what some of the content is, but I saw some of the good bits that I needed to see, and we'll talk about that later as well. But Regina King, I mean, here's another woman just finally getting her due, because a couple of years ago, I was thinking about how she is one of the only black women I know who has constantly successfully reinvented herself and actually came from being a child star to who she is now today. And I mean, it's just remarkable that she can do that, because I remember, you know, her giving an interview, she talks about, you know, all these times that she had to reinvent, because, you know, cause when she was in the 90s, she was kind of, you know, the black best friend, you know, with the braids all down and back, you know, because you remember, like, Poetic Justice and, you know, Boys in the Hood, that was just kind of who she was. But she was like, well, you can't kind of keep doing that and be, you know, in these, and get, you know, different type roles. You know, she didn't want to be typecast, but then she ends up, you know, doing this thing where she's kind of, you know, the really strong, like, wife figure, because, you know, you have, like, Jerry Maguire, you have Enemy of the State, and she had, you know, that wife role down, mm-hmm. But it's also, but then it's, like, still, you know, she gets, you know, shows like Southland, you know, and she's, you know, where she plays a cop and all, and then now with Watchmen, is she a sheriff in it or a police officer?
Detective.
Hmm?
She's a detective.
Well, I know she's detective. Okay, I know. I'm like, she's a vigilante character. That's what I know about her. But
yeah,
when they first announced the show, I did not know she was going to be the lead of that show. But she's the lead of Watchmen,
mm-hmm.
Which is major, because that is a sci-fi genre show on HBO, and a black woman was leading it. And from what I saw, just all types of black content. And from some stories centering black people in that.
Yeah.
So that was major. So, like, yeah, this has been Regina King's year.
It's based on a comic book that's, like,
yeah,
beloved by,
yeah,
white nerds,
yeah,
everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I thought actually that it was kind of like a departure. I thought it might be a departure from the comic, but my friends who are familiar with the comic, they're like, no, the show is actually much more closely aligned with the comic than the movie was. I'm like, oh, okay. So, you know, I still definitely, that's on my, you know, as soon as I am able, definitely check this out. But it's like, 2019 has just made me so happy for Regina King. And also now it's just been announced that she's going to be directing a Sam Cooke biopic. And did you see the cast members, like, who's playing Sam Cooke, Muhammad Ali, and, you know, James Brown, son? Oh, girl.
I know Aldis Hodge is in it,
girl.
So it already has my money.
Yes, yes, exactly. Because I know she made her, glasses. Yeah, go ahead. Mm-hmm. I know, right? I know, right? It's like I said, Regina King is the gift that keeps on giving. Mm-hmm. Oh, she's been on, like, all these magazine covers and stuff this year, too. You know, just, she is just, I love her visibility now. I love that. But it took so long. Like I said, we remember her from the 80s.
Right.
Yeah, we remember 227.
Mm-hmm. I remember her from Friday.
It is 2020. Yes.
So.
Yes.
Yeah, and she's like...
So this is not an overnight... This is not an overnight success.
Right.
She's like 46 or so.
And, you know, yeah. And people like... She's one of those few black actresses that people everywhere just love. You say her name and they're like, oh, yes, yes. Can't say nothing bad about Regina King. So,
yeah.
So she's developed, she's built that reputation for herself in Hollywood.
Yes.
Which is no mean feat.
Yes.
No mean feat.
No, you have to respect her. Mm-hmm. You have to respect her.
So
yeah, that was, yeah. So, you know, if 2019 was old for music, 2019 was Regina King in film and TV.
Yeah.
Our visual representation.
I agree.
So, yeah, like I said, followed her for decades and just so proud where she is now, what she's been able to build, and taking other people with her. You know, because that's one thing you also have to remember about her. She is also very, very blatantly trying to, you know, create opportunities for other black folks. Yeah.
So.
She's trying to be up here by herself. She taking as many with her as she can.
That's right. That's right. So, yeah. Hopefully 2020 will be another great year for Regina, especially when this movie comes out.
Yes.
I'm ready.
Oh, yes.
Yes, indeed. And speaking of actresses who are making moves, we've got to talk about Lupita Nyong'o. She graced many a magazine cover in 2019, and she made moves as an actress and a producer. She's producing Americana, which is an adaptation of Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie's novel. She's doing that for HBO, and she's going to be starring in it. She also starred in Us, Jordan Peele's second directorial project, and she's getting Oscar buzz for that. She also...
Fingers crossed.
Right. She also bought the rights to Trevor Noah's Born a Crime, and is going to make turn that into a movie project as a producer, and I think she's going to star in that as well. So, there was a time, like, right after she won her Oscar for 12 Years a Slave, where people were saying, I don't see Lupita, in the trade magazines, being cast in anything, I think she needs to do this, that, and the other, and, Lupita took her time, and the next thing you know, she's in Star Wars, and she's in Black Panther. She's everywhere.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's funny how Twitter tries to, dictate people's careers. And then people say, I already have a plan. I have my own plan. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, she's also had another film released this year. I think it's called Little Monsters.
Right.
Another horror film. Movie. Yeah. Yeah. So she's becoming one of our favorite final girls.
Yay. And of course, she will definitely be in Black Panther 2 coming out in 2022.
Yes.
I can't wait for that. People that should have listened to
Nakia
in the first one, damn it. Better listen to her in Black Panther 2.
Really? I don't keep up with comics, so now I gotta find out how this is gonna, the whole initiative, in Oakland and stuff is going. I have to find out. Okay, so yay for Lupita. He's just, ever since she emerged, just one of our favorites, because, I mean, how could she not be? But also another one who's been one of our favorites since, she started her rise is Janet Mock. And she has also been having a really good year. And of course, there's her work on Pose, which had its triumphant second season, and they did get renewed for a third. So, yay. And also, more for her, she got her own Netflix deal. So she's going to be developing projects there. So that is a huge deal. She's like the only Black trans woman I can think of who has such a major industry deal right now. Mm-hmm. You know, because, I mean, actually the only trans person, Black trans person I can think of with such a deal. So, yeah, she's been doing such really good work with Pose. And I think that was like some of her work first time, like directing. I know she's been a writer. But I think that was like, you know, that episode that she did in Pose was like the first time she ever directed.
Yeah, and in the now, first season, you know, yeah.
Yeah, and so now she's getting to develop her own projects for Netflix. So I cannot wait to see, you know, what content, you know, that she comes up with. Because if, you know, anything with like her work with Pose, anything, she knows how to bring joy. She knows how to bring drama. You know, she knows how to do this full range of, you know, just human experience. And so I really admire that in a writer, and just can't wait to see what she's gonna, you know, come up with Netflix. And hopefully Netflix does not slight her and you know, do what they usually do. They'll give you two seasons of a show, and it's like, yeah, we'll leave that there. But
either way, Janet's gonna get her coins.
Yes, that is a good thing. But, you know, we just, hopefully her stuff succeeds, and because, you know, I'm going to support it. Like I said, she's shown what she can do. Right.
And she takes other people with her, too. So hopefully a lot of actors will get some visibility and more work on the strength of the work that she will give them. So
yeah,
I'm just looking forward to seeing more Black and brown trans people on my TV screen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
going back to music, 2019, we also saw the rise of Normani. She finally went solo after being in Fifth Harmony for a long time. And she made her debut in style. Her video for Motivation was a really big hit and had everybody wanting to learn the steps and just watching it over and over and just, you know, just being wowed by her star power. She's just magnetic. You just want to watch everything she does when she's on screen. So can't take your eyes off her. And
it doesn't hurt. She's so pretty.
She's gorgeous. But and she's such a great dancer. And a gymnast, I think. Yeah. The flips that she be doing is wild. She's on some Simone Biles shit. speaking of Simone Biles, then we need to mention her too. This was her year too. She was breaking all kinds of records, winning all kinds of awards. Yes.
Ooh,
you know,
like, what is gravity?
She is, yeah. She broke space-time barriers and all that good shit. And, you know, she just made her name as one of the greatest gymnasts of all time. So,
yes.
But back to Normani. She, her video was a big hit. Her first single was a big hit. I think she's doing a song with Megan Thee Stallion for the Birds of Prey soundtrack now. And that just came out as of this recording, and you know, just onward and upward. She's modeled for Fenty Beauty, I think, at one of their fashion shows. She's just big things are popping for Normani, and I'm just really happy. It's just
Yeah. One thing I really do appreciate also when Motivation came out is that there's so many conversations about Black girls and women in pop music started to arise. And so, and people started making, you know, these lists like Black girls and Black women who have made really good pop songs or who have, you know, had, had, you know, their presence in pop. But then you look at this and you realize they have not gotten the type of shine that they deserve. Or, you know, they don't get the type of, you know, props they deserve, and they don't, you know, they're not as talked about as much. But, you know, they should be pop stars, you know, let them be in whatever genre they want to be in. And so I was glad that that conversation came up.
Yeah, because instead of, we get, sometimes we want to give so many props to white people that come in and try to do R&B and stuff like that.
Yes.
That ain't it. That is not the way. Can we focus on the originators here?
Yes.
Instead of the imitators, please? So we mentioned Simone Biles. We also need to mention Coco Gauff and Naomi Osaka.
Naomi Osaka.
And of course, the OGs, Venus and Serena Williams. And
yes.
Sloane Stephens, all those people. You know, this was the year of the Black girl athlete. Of course, we have to mention the Washington Mystics 2019 WNBA champions. And most of the people on the team are Black women athletes, and most of the people in the WNBA are Black women athletes. Don't have any Black women head coaches though, and we can talk about that some other time. But the Black women athletes were doing their thing this year in 2020 or last year. So anything else you want to bring up, or shall we step into In This Corner?
Well, we will just mention Megan Thee Stallion just briefly because one thing, she, as much as, you know, her profile was raised and, you know, I loved her presence and all, we'll probably talk about this a little later too, but just how disturbed so many people were that, you know, because she's pretty literally your fantasy girl, you know, this gorgeous, you know, tall, leggy, curvy Black woman. She's like a sophomore in college, and quite frankly, I found, like, when she was like posting, I got my paper due and stuff like this, and like, I found that hilarious. I just found that hilarious, just kind of her going, talking about her college work, you know. Yeah, I got this paper, and then I went and did a show at 8 o'clock. Okay, yeah. I just thought that was cute as hell, but it's like, she just got this whole hot girl summer thing, just had everybody inspired. And the thing I like about that, you know, it was just pretty much live your life, you know, be you, do good. Cause like she had people cleaning up beaches, you know, for the hot girl summer and stuff. And she is such a sweetheart, you know, cause at the end of the year, you know, she's doing her post like, look, I lost my mom and my grandma this year, but you know what, y'all, you know, I'm still, you know, here, I'm still doing my thing, but, you know, and y'all, you know, keep, you know, being you and being good, and she's just such a sweetheart, and, you know, and she's really freaking talented, okay?
I was about to say, she can rap her ass off.
Yes, she is so talented, and so just has all that going for her, and, you know, like I said, just a sweetheart, and so really proud, you know, happy and proud to see her rise as well, so just had to mention Megan. I'm like, I can imagine being in college and then trying to juggle a career at the same time, such a high profile career at that. with everybody scrutinizing you and all, and these dudes getting mad because you are actually the pretty girl who likes anime and you still don't want them. So they have to reconcile that.
And also because you rap better than their faves.
Yes. Yeah.
Because when you hear the rest, most of these rappers out here, most of these male rappers out here now, that are her contemporaries, they can't hang with her.
Yeah. Like, none of them, quite frankly, none of these guys can compete with most of these women out right now.
Basically.
They cannot. They cannot.
That's the real reason behind all of this scrutiny and all of these demands and all of this. It's like, y'all just...
Oh, they only listen to you because you sexy and you sell sex. Thank you.
Like, Lil' Kim sold sex, and she rapped better than a lot of your faves back then.
Yes, she did.
And she wrote, wrote her rhymes. Y'all want to say that Biggie wrote rhymes that he couldn't have wrote because he was not here. Y'all want to say, oh, Biggie wrote her rhyme for Quiet Storm. He was not here. He was not on this plane of existence. Lil' Kim wrote those rhymes.
Yeah.
You mad. Because you still remember them. And you can't attribute them to a dude. Hot ho, well, here we go again. Light as a rock. Hard as a... Anyway. let me stop. So, yes. With that... With that, before we get started just shitting on all of your male faves, let's go to this corner.
Yeah. Okay. So, 2019, as far as the music I liked and as far as Black women were concerned, it was a stellar year. I mean, music-wise, I had so much to choose from. I had some of my favorites coming back. Had some new ones too. A couple of my choices do overlap with yours, and let's talk about what you have here first, because the first one you have here, that actually pretty much was my album of the year.
Hey.
So, and I am talking about Solange, When I Get Home.
Wow.
So, yeah,
that's wild, because a lot of people didn't like it, because I think a lot of people wanted A Seat at the Table too, and that's not what this was.
No, see, this is the thing. I kind of like how she's, you know, doing her albums, like, kind of according to where she is at that time. Because A Seat at the Table, that was her making New Orleans home. Because, you know, she was trying to, you know, go there, and she was trying to make a life there. But then, I don't know why, but she went back to her roots in Houston for When I Get Home. And by the way, if you haven't watched the director's cut of the When I Get Home, that kind of the short film of the album, you should do that. Because like I was saying, it kind of has this feel of an obscure, you know, European art film from the 70s, which is right up my alley. And even though she is listed as the director on that, she has there were four people credited as contributing directors, one of them Terrence Nance. So
that gets your vote.
It's like I've said, you know, before. Yeah. She, like I said before, with Solange, she is pretty much living my ideal art whole life.
She is art.
Yes.
I just loved it. So, you know, some of the songs just, wow. I can't be driving and listen to Dreams, because I will drift right off the damn highway. Almeida is a mood. It's an anthem.
Yeah.
I mean,
Yep.
is
Yes.
just a bop. I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. It was different. Solange is not going to give you the same thing twice. And it's just a testament to
Solange is
the
going to do what she
ideas
wants.
she has. She's got a lot of ideas.
Yeah.
She brought a whole different aesthetic to this whole project, the visual project and the album. You know, 2019 was the, what was it, the Yeehaw?
Yeehaw agenda.
Yeehaw agenda, and she was
Yeehaw
there. She was in the mix
agenda. Yep.
with it, you know, coming from Houston. She had black cowboys all up and through the visual.
Oh, yes, she did.
So, some of them might have been cat daddies, I don't know.
Look, I'm just saying, black men on horses is a, that's, yeah.
It's a whole mood.
Girl. Yes.
So, yeah. So shout out to
Absolutely.
Solange. You did your thing.
Yes.
I enjoyed it.
She did. She did.
Looking forward to the next project as well.
Yeah. And also, if you didn't catch her performance on Jimmy Kimmel, she gives almost 10 minutes to that. And I'm just going to put it this way. She has dancers, but there's like a solo dancer featured on Ben's. Oh my God, she was freaking incredible. Because it's like, as soon as that beat dropped from Ben's, so did her ass, and she started doing the meanest ass twerk on that. And I was, holy shit. I mean, it was, yeah. That was, yeah. If you didn't, like I said, if you didn't watch that, go watch it, because that was awesome. Like I said, Solange is living the ideal art life. Yes.
She's bringing the highbrow and the lowbrow together and making it blend seamlessly. So from art ho to blues ho, rock ho. Talking about Brittany Howard, she put out her first solo album called Jamie.
Yes.
And it was so fucking good.
Yeah,
It was
it
just so
is. I'm not surprised though. I'm not surprised. Yeah, her work with Alabama Shakes has been really good, and also she's had side projects like Thunder Bitch and Bermuda Triangle, and it's all been good. So wasn't surprised that this was a good album all around.
like, you know, she had some straight ahead, soulful stuff. She had some rock and blues and just a
Yeah.
lot of different. She was just all in her bag, and her bag is very diverse in terms of, you know, musical styles. So you get a little bit of everything with Brittany Howard, and on top of that, you get great guitar playing and great vocals, and it was just great. It was just great to just to have a whole album of her, you know, without any. It was just her, no other filters.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's another one of yours?
Let's see. Do I wanna? I'm gonna go and say Imani Coppola,
Of
who
course.
has been an absolute favorite of mine since like 1998. I don't know which album this is in her, because like I'm. We're probably somewhere in 10 or so by now. But yeah, she did a really good album called The Protagonist, and also released a compilation called Unsung, which goes through her career from the first album up to now. That's her songs, and it's also stuff from Lil Jackie on that as well. But this album I like because it's as eclectic as she is. You know, it's like starts off with, you know, Black Terrier, which is this country twangy thing, but also has, you know, different stuff like Sage, which is this, you know, kind of ballad, you know, thing, which is one of my favorite songs of the year as well. And it's just, I just love how uncompromising she is with her work. Like, because I know she's wanted to be commercial, she's wanted to be successful for so long, but I just don't believe she can compromise herself from what she wants to do musically to get that type of success that she has been. But you know, she has been consistently good. Her work has just been consistently good, no matter what type of music she's doing, what genre she's doing, and all of that. So yeah, Imani Coppola's The Protagonist was a standout.
I just want to give a shout out, a really quick shout out to Beyonce's Homecoming. It was a live album that recorded her Coachella performances. It was all it was a lot of her greatest hits, but reworked so that they could be played by an HBCU band. So if you want to hear, you know, some of your favorite favorite Beyonce songs, but totally rearranged so that so that you can hear a live band, a live college band perform them. I mean, this is it. It was just really good to hear all these songs kind of reworked, and the band, all the horns give them new life, and it was a full-on step show. So the the steppers were kind of providing percussion along with the songs, and it was just a whole experience. And you know, if you want something to give you some energy on your commute, like, this was great to listen to. I know I listen to it just to get hype in the morning, or just to, you know, just to make it through. So
also in the performance, didn't she reunite with those dancers, like twins?
And there was a movie on Netflix that kind of showed behind the scenes of her putting this all together, and you know, should have won an Emmy, but Emmys were hating. And that's all I want to say about that. So,
yeah.
But it was one of the album, one of my favorite albums made by Black women in 2019.
Yeah, I remember, you know, talk about that, and I was just really, really sad when people were saying that, when she was talking about trying to get her body back after, you know, she had her babies. Like, she says, "I'm hungry." I'm like, that's terrible. That is so terrible. Like, okay.
But she also said she wasn't doing that shit no more. She's not doing that no more. She's not going to try to get her body back, like, right after having twins. Like, she could have done some irreparable damage to herself trying to diet like that.
Yeah.
And she's not doing that no more. So, all the demands that y'all have, that y'all make of these other rising stars, y'all not getting that from Beyonce. You will get what she gives you when she wants to give it to you.
Yeah.
And y'all need to chill, because y'all not stressing her. Y'all not stressing Rihanna. And you really need to leave these younger musicians alone and let them give you what they need, what they can give you when they're ready to give it to you. Because there's enough music. Y'all can revisit some other albums, some older albums, and give them the appreciation that they're due, because y'all still don't appreciate Anti as much as you really should.
So Anti, wait, we should have mentioned this, because Anti became like the longest running album, I think, by a woman overall, or actually by anybody overall, consecutively on Billboard, because it's been on the charts for like 200 weeks.
really good.
It's been, it's still on the charts. Wow. Okay, where are we going now?
I don't know. I just had something on my spirit I need to talk about. Because y'all are wild. Like, why do y'all need so much new music from people when you haven't really digested their previous work? Like, y'all consume music these days, like Big Macs. And it took people a lot longer to make these albums than it took the people at McDonald's to make a Big Mac. So y'all should give some of this music the consideration it was made with.
Yeah.
Instead of constantly asking for more. I listen to Kalani's EP While We Wait a lot. She had a really good duet on there with Music Soul Child. She had a couple of singles that came from that as well. Nights Like This, I think. And so I listened to that a lot. And of course, I listened to The God, Lizzo, because I love you. Because, I mean, you couldn't get away from Truth Hurts.
Not true.
You could not get away from that song. And I couldn't stop playing Tempo with Missy Elliott because...
Yeah.
You know, I'm a big bitch. I need Tempo. Fuck it up to the Tempo. Fuck it up to the Tempo. Anyway, y'all. I don't sing that song. Lizzo sings that song. Let me stop. But yeah, those are some of my favorite albums by Black women. They came out this year. I think they came out this year. Lord. when I wasn't listening to Prince reissues. These are the albums I was listening to. Oh. Also, Jamila Woods, Legacy.
Yes.
Giovanni is the song.
The one I was going to mention.
I love that song. Giovanni is that cut. I think we had it.
Yeah.
So, shout out to Jamila. She did another great album. Did Lion Babe come out this year?
Who?
Lion Babe.
Who?
Lion Babe.
Yeah, Cosmic Wind. Yeah, Cosmic Wind.
Yeah.
That was their album. 2019. That was
a good album. So.
I had a few, definitely a few albums from Black women. Oh God, I hate this. I'm sorry, but they're plowing snow outside. That's the big machines you hear from the microphone picking it up. But it was just so many. I mean, Adia Victoria's Silences was a really good album.
Yeah,
I loved it. I love her, and she's been consistent on her music as well. Alice Smith, oh my God, she had a really good EP, Mystery.
Right.
So if you didn't listen to that yet, go ahead. I'm still trying to figure out how I found In the Next Life, because they're this rock group, and I'm sorry for the title of the album, it's called Four Friends in a Room with a Gun, but this is just straight up rock music, and it's like, it's really loud, really, noisy, which I like. But also, if you do listen to them, there's a song they have called The Devil's Doorbell. And I find it hilarious for reasons, but if you want to listen to that, yeah, it's probably about what you think it is. But one of my really top favorites that I listened to a lot this year was Kelsey Liu's Blood. She's another one of my art ho favorites. She's a cellist, and she incorporates that with her music. This is her first full-length album, Blood, because she had an EP out a couple years ago called Church. It's a bit of a departure from that, because Church really did mostly rely on that cello, so it was like soft, fluid sounds and all. But, you know, we have this album, you have songs like, you know, Atlantic, which is one of my favorites, and, you know, Due West, and, you know, and of course her cover of 10cc's I'm Not in Love. She did a really, really good album. Yeah, you did mention Jimmy Lee Woods, because that was Legacy was really good. But my song off that was Earth. If you like Afrofuturistic stuff, you know, like noise experimental stuff, More Mother's Analog Fluids of Sonic Black Holes was just outstanding. It was really good. But some of my favorite stuff actually came out in like February, and one of the things that came out in February was Our Native Daughters, Songs of Our Native Daughters. Of course, that's the group with Rhiannon Giddens, Amethyst Kia, Layla McCalla, and Allison Russell. And by the way, both Rhiannon Giddens and Layla McCalla also had solo albums out during the year as well, and they were also very, very good. So if you want to check those out, definitely check those out. Another favorite, Spelling's Maisie Fly, that actually came out in February as well. Had this really good song, I think actually came out at the beginning of the year, called Under the Sun. This kind of electronic thing going, and it's just a really, you know, really good album. It's like I was listening to somebody else talk about it and say, it's like she puts together these different types of sounds that shouldn't work, but they do. Okay, so yeah. Sudan Archives, her first album, Athena, really good. Sunny Wars, Shell of a Girl. I think that's like her third album that's also really good. Another one that caught me by surprise, because like a lot of other good stuff that came out in October, Sylvia Black's Twilight Animals. It like just has this very cabaret burlesque feel, and I just love it. You know, that's my type of shit. You know, like I can listen to that album and like I want somebody to make a stage show out of it. Don't ask me why. I'm strange. But Vagabond. She did her. I think this is her second album. It's self-titled, so that was another good one. And another one, I'm actually surprised you didn't say, Yola's Walk Through Fire. But, I don't think you listen to country like I do. Yeah, but she's actually, the thing about, she's a British country singer, but she does such a good job with this. I mean, it's actually a really good album, really nice, really mellow, and, so, yeah, those were definitely some of my main. Actually, what I was surprised you didn't mention was Tank and the Bangas. Because they finally did their debut album.
Okay.
Yeah. They finally did their debut. And so I was listening to that again the other day. And it's one of those things, in a way, it kind of goes all over the place, but it makes sense. And, you know, so that was a good album as well. So, yeah, I said a lot of good music from Black women, and, you know, their works came out in 2019. And so that was just part of my list. But, yeah.
You can find this whole list on her website, cornerstorepress.wordpress.com. You can also hear a lot of the music that she mentioned on the Black Swan Collective, which you can find on mixcloud.com/Indaloren. So,
yes.
Thank you for that trip to Indus Corner.
Music was good.
Yeah, it was good. And now we're going to get into this print. because we need a minute. And I think if you followed, if you're on Twitter or whatever, I'm not on Twitter that much, but when I am, I do enjoy reading tweets, making tweets about this new nominee to the Pantheon of Print, Pantheon of Peen, I'm sorry. And I think you know who it is. It is Mr. Yahya Abdul-Mateen II. Good Lord.
It's a mouthful.
Girl, you've set up a bunch of really, really, really bad jokes. And I'm not going to make them. I'm not going to fall for it. I'm not going to fall for it. It is a mouthful. You make the jokes yourselves at home. I'm not doing it. This thing is about to already go off the rails and gets X-rated in a minute. So, whatever. You have seen Mr. Abdul-Mateen II in the Netflix's The Get Down, where he played a really trash character named Cadillac with a really smooth song that was sung by Miguel. He had his own anthem called Cadillac, done by Miguel. And the song was really good. The character was trash. But he could really dance.
Yes.
He looked really good.
Yes.
He's been in a recent, much talked about episode of Black Mirror called Striking Vipers.
Yes.
He was in Warner Brothers Aquaman movie with Jason Momoa. He played Black Manta. And most recently, he's been in HBO's Watchmen.
Mm-hmm.
And, so, and I think it's the last one that has kind of made him a household name, especially among Black women.
Oh, yes. Regina King, you lucky.
Yes.
Girl, you lucky.
Ooh. Anyway, Yahya is from New Orleans, and he moved to Oakland around high school. And he has a degree in architecture from UC Berkeley and once worked as a city planner in San Francisco before deciding to go to Yale School of Drama, get an MFA, and become an actor. So he's done a lot in only 33 years. Lord, he is young. And that's okay. His father is Muslim and his mother is Christian. I don't know why I felt I needed to write this down, but he's extremely beautiful and talented.
Well, I mean, he is.
He really is. He really fucking is. Yeah. There's a video on YouTube where a woman just says he is fine for no good damn reason. And that is true.
Basically.
she also said he has Merry Christmas dick. Oh god. Shout out to Chrissy Chula. She made the video.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't say I disagree with anything she said, but and I mean anything. So, shout out to him and all of his pulchritude. He's going to be in the Candyman remake that will be directed by Nia DaCosta and produced by Jordan Peele, as well as the Matrix. So that is my nominee, probably for all of 2020. He's that fine. People just want to talk about him every show.
Yeah.
Inda, you have a nominee?
I only, now I have an honorable mention because it, I kind of privately have a bit of a Cat Daddy countdown, and as it turns out, on well, for right now it's tomorrow, but it'll be passed by then, on January 12th, our favorite Mexican American anarchist Zack de la Rocca will turn 50. So yay. Yeah, he's been that Rage Against the Machine has been, kind of, well, at least in the things I follow, they've been, in the headlines lately, because looks like next, well, this year, I guess, they're going to be headlining one of the Coachella shows and headlining something else. So that means that they reunited because they broke up in like late 90s, early 2000s, and which was actually when I first started listening to them. And so, yeah, I really just really admired Zach De La Rocca a lot. And so to see him back, especially at this time when we really need groups like Rage Against the Machine very much, it's good to see him back. And so shout out to him, wishing him a happy 50th birthday.
And shout out to Inda and her Cat Daddy radar. Her Cat Daddy. Thank you for the Cat Daddy notifications. Keep them coming. We're gonna have to make that a segment. Who's coming up on the Cat Daddy radar this month? What's the forecast for Cat Daddy's Inda?
Find a bunch of dudes born in 1970.
Shouldn't be that hard to find.
It's not, doesn't sound like a bad project
No.
though. I mean, somebody can pay me for that.
Ready?
I'll do
Hey.
it.
Okay, publications. Seek out Inda at Inda's Corner for the Cat Daddy forecast. All proceeds go to Inda. But you heard it here first on Black Girl School. So, so I don't know. I don't want to linger too long on Catch the Fade, but I figure we should do it because the end of 2019 was just as shitty as the beginning, I guess. Oh, so we mentioned it briefly when we talked about the rise of Lizzo. The rise of Lizzo was met with a lot of fatphobic abuse and racist and sexist abuse against Lizzo as well. And she finally said fuck it and left social media because she was tired of the trolls. And I don't blame her. She doesn't have to be on social media at this, as big as, as big a star as she is right now. Being on Twitter was just, that was giving you free content and access to her. She doesn't need to do that, especially if you're going to be abusive. And maybe now we will stop seeing everybody and their mama give their half-baked hot take on Lizzo and fat women musicians. Half of y'all don't even listen to her music like that, and I don't really care about your opinion. So maybe y'all will leave her the fuck alone now that she's left social media, and I won't have to see all of these tweets on my timeline about her. You don't even know her or her music like that. So, but everybody feels like they have to have an opinion, and it's one of the things. that keeps me away from social media.
Yeah.
Anything you want to say about it?
No, I said I don't really want to dwell on it, but it's like, y'all really cannot stand to see black women thrive, and let her be a fat black woman who's confident with herself and really ain't bothered by y'all. It just really makes you angry. Like, she's not causing anybody any harm. I mean, her whole thing is literally joy, you know? It's all about self-acceptance. It's all about joy, but she's annoying. What the fuck is wrong with you? Just say you hate fat black women and leave.
Yeah, and please, and don't That's even worry about say. The first part. Just leave. Just fucking leave.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, even sadder.
Yeah.
Tatiana Jefferson was a woman who was shot in her home by Dallas-Fort Worth police. I think the police officer that shot her left the force before he could get fired or sued or whatever. Then Jefferson's father died.
Mm-hmm.
Now her mother has passed. So that's a whole family that was basically killed by the police by state sanctioned violence against black people. Killed a whole family. And I don't know what the reparations are for that. I don't know what can be done to repair that. There isn't. But this whole criminal justice system needs to be reformed or burnt to the ground or. Probably just burnt to the ground. It's not working. It's only working for certain people. And it's killing everybody else. And finally, in stuff that could be avoided, but racism got a racism. The RWA, the Romance Writers of America, kind of implodes from institutional racism. This is the big kerfuffle at the end of the year happened when RWA sanctioned author Courtney Milan and banned her from leadership positions on the board for a lifetime because she criticized a book written by a romance writer for being, quote, a fucking racist mess, unquote. And it was kind of shady the way that this decision came down because it was done by some secret committee on the board, on the ethics committee, which is weird because that's the last committee that should probably be secret. It didn't make any sense how the decision was made. So, a lot of other stuff started coming out about how RWA doesn't pay black women who speak at their conferences or do sessions or seminars the same as they do white authors. there's just a double standard as far as, there's already been a double standard as far as publishing and gatekeeping, and also awards given. But yeah, you know, we can't even get paid fairly for showing up to conferences or seminars and spending their time. Yeah, just a lot of other stuff came out, and then the president stepped down finally after a lot of people wanted him, you know, were calling for it. Now the RWA is basically in shambles, from what I can tell, and a lot of people are stepping away from it. You know, canceling their memberships. They're not going to the conference, and it's just a mess, and it could have been avoided, but racists want to racist.
I actually wanted to clarify that this was actually happening. Things like the things that were happening were before the everything with Courtney went down. From what I understand, because somebody did a really good clear tweet thread on it, is that one of the authors, you know, who brought the charge, she was liking white supremacist tweets on Twitter. Somebody brought this to the attention of whoever was supposed to be her publisher, and they decided, yeah, they didn't want to stay with her. And so this got one of her friends mad, the other person who brought the charges. And she started making a big kerfuffle about that. And then at some point, that's when, you know, Courtney spoke up about it. And then one of the women, I'm not saying their names because I can't even remember them anyway, so I don't give a shit. And that's, you know, she said that RWA forced her to make this complaint against Courtney Milan, which I'm pretty sure is absolute bullshit because she brought out all her white tears on that. And the thing is that one of the people who did, you know, make the complaint, they're a publisher, and they made this a complaint against a writer, which is all fucked up. And so, like you said, it just imploded, because now all of this stuff is coming out about, you know, the RWA. To add insult to injury, RWA was co-founded by a black woman.
Yeah, we talked about this.
And she did. Yeah, she was founded by a black woman. The organization was founded by a black woman. And so over time, you see what they say has been happening. White women have been using this as a social club, not as a professional organization, but as a social club, and have done, you know, everything possible pretty much to, you know, push other women away, push them aside, and not take them seriously. And now want to cry about, oh, but, you know, aren't we supposed to be judging, you know, on our writing merits and not, you know, on our content and not on the color of our skin? Like, it doesn't, y'all really can't stand the fact that a lot of the times, these women of color, they're just better writers than you. And y'all are still focusing on racist tropes, thinking that you're being all progressive and shit. But you know what? Your whiteness is showing. Your racism is showing. Your devotion to white supremacy is showing. And now it's just all come to the light, and you don't like it.
And people, so, yeah. And there are a lot of people that, you know, are not worried about. They are brave enough to get on Twitter and say something about it. Like Courtney Milan was, she was critiquing the writing. And that's an Asian American.
Which
she
is perfect.
Saying that,
right.
That writing was harmful. And it was not good.
Yes. Yeah.
And you censured her.
White women really do not like to hear that they are being problematic.
and they don't like to hear it. Like, I don't know if there's a nice way to say that, you know, this your work has harmful tropes in it and harmful ideas in it, and just flat out racist ideas. What's the nice way to say that that doesn't hurt anybody's feelings but still gets the point across? I don't know, and I don't care.
Because, I mean, if you write in racist tropes, I don't care about your feelings, to be honest. You know?
Your hurt feelings
don't... This is racist.
Yeah. You're hurting me. Why?
Yeah.
Why am I trying to tiptoe all over your feelings?
Exactly.
Those are some things that can catch the fade. Damn. Hopefully 2020 will be better. But in that vein, I have some hopes for Black women in 2020. So feel free to join in on this with any of your hopes, Inda. One, I hope we have more rom-com books and movies featuring fat and dark-skinned Black women. And I'm not talking about the really angsty shit. I want some more fluffy rom-com fun stuff featuring Black women. I hope we live to see the Dora Milaje get their own set of movies and TV shows. Black Panther is until 2022, and the way this presidency is set up, I don't know. I don't know. I hope we make it, but I don't know. I hope we continue to watch Stacey Abrams rise to political power in 2020 and beyond. And I want to see Angelica Ross in all the things, because I don't think we got to see enough of her in Pose. We only got to see her in like one or two scenes with Billy Porter, and she was acting down in those scenes. So I just want to see her in all the things. And
yeah.
Inda?
Well, despite some things she said recently, I'm still keeping my fingers crossed, keeping, you know, all my hopes that Alfre Wood still pulls off an Oscar nomination for Clemency. She is way past due for recognition from that organization. I know, you know, we're all supposed to hate, you know, these institutionalized award shows and stuff, but that woman has been in this industry, well, for as long as I've been alive, at least, I think longer. And for her to only have one nod and just this lack of recognition for her work, it's an insult. This woman should have been and had two or three trophies by now. She's never been less than exemplary in anything she's in. So holding out hope for that. Hoping to see Latonya Richardson Jackson get a Tony for To Kill a Mockingbird, because she's been getting a lot of buzz for that, and I would love to see her with an award too. Overall, I would love just more representation of older Black women doing various things, not just being moms, not just being, you know, aunties, things like that, but just living life and exploring life, and, you know, at any age, you know. I would love that type of representation in my life right now.
Because she has worn out Juanita on Netflix, y'all. Worn it out. She play it back and it's all fuzzy, okay. And worn and, you know, dipping in and out of quality. Sometimes, you know, some frames are black and white. She's played it so much.
Yellow.
Sepia toned. So,
Leave me alone.
huh? She got the sex scene timestamped. She had that timestamp like the first week of watching, but let me stop telling on her. Woman is vocab.
Gonna pay for that. Okay, woman is vocab. I'm going to do, in light of all of the fuckery that happened at the end of the year and still going on at the beginning of the year, I would like to give a reminder of something that we talked about before. So today is emotional labor. Emotional labor refers to the phenomena of regulating emotions, often to remain friendly and positive in the workplace, particularly with customer service. Black feminists also use this term to refer to the actual emotional work expected of Black women to provide emotional support and stability to others with no compensation or reciprocation. Sociologist Arlie Russell Hochschild coined the term in her 1983 book, The Managed Heart, Commercialization of Human Feeling, Emotional Labor.
Thank you, Enda, for our womanist vocabulary word.
So,
So,
yeah.
what inspired that?
Because every time something happens, something blows up, like with this RWA situation, we should just put Black women, in charge. We should listen to, like, first of all, you should listen to us in the first place. But now you want to try to put us in some type of position to teach y'all with no compensation, in it for us. And like, nah, you fucked it up, you fix it. Like, if some Black women wanna, lead the charge on that, compensate them properly and actually carry through what the fuck they tell you. But don't expect them to be here and hold your hand so you can just be like, okay, yeah, well, we learned, and so now let me go, and push y'all to the side again because we want to still be, in charge. Fuck that.
Yes, fuck that.
So, yeah.
Amen. With that, we're gonna close out the show. You can find Black Girl Squee on Twitter, Tumblr, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play Podcasts. On Twitter, you can find Enda at Enda's Corner, and I'm at This Daughter, but not very frequently, because Twitter is toxic. Our podcast Twitter is at Black Girl Squee, all one word. You can email the show at blackgirlsquee@gmail.com. You can catch all of our episodes up on our podcast page at blackgirlsquee.simplecast.com. So until next time,
bye. I just wanna wake up on CP time. Wake up to the need to leave heat behind. Get a presidential suite, leave with their linen. In the rose, best friend it, window sinning. Sundown, wind chimes, break it down. One line, a line. Can't no see me, no flex, be kind. Dollars never show up on CP.